Fine, if you could take the book of Ezekiel, we're in chapter 16 still, and we're talking about Israel. If you want to eat some bushes back there, they're back there. Pass those out, somebody watch the sheets before them. Ezekiel chapter 16, a long chapter. Last week we stopped at verse 39. Last time we stopped at verse 39, 16:39. So we'll begin by verse 40 today. Ezekiel 16 and verse 4. Let's read verse 40, 41, and 42 together, beginning at verse 40. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thy houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou shalt also give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and be no more angry. On verse number 40. They shall also bring up a company against thee. Who is the thee referred to here? Israel, all right, and especially the two tribes, Judah, the two southern tribes. Where did the northern ten tribes go at this point? Where were they?
Assyria.
Into Assyria, all right. The northern ten tribes into Assyria, way over here. And that's 700 B.C. Now the two tribes of Judah, the southern two tribes, where has God going to send them?
Babylon.
Into Babylon. And way over here in Babylon, which is now Iraq, which is the same thing. Babylon is in Scripture, many things are told about in Scripture. And the book of Ezekiel is not always chronological. It has an in captivity that goes back and talks about they haven't gone in yet. And so this is a picture of Israel and Judah as they're young, they're children, they're like a baby, and then they're growing up. And they play the harlot, as it were, they're unfaithful to the Lord in idolatry. And so a great company shall come up against thee. What will happen when this happens? When apparently, who's that company that's going to come up against Judah? Who would be that company?
Babylonians.
Babylonians, all right, by Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. There are at least one, two, or three different deportations. It takes a few this time, a few next time, so on. Now, what are they going to do when they come up against Judah and Israel?
Stone
them with stone. Are there any stoning of stones in the New Testament?
Stephen
was stoned, wasn't he? They slew him, they killed him. And who took their coats and put them by his feet?
Saul.
Saul, who later became Paul. Why do you think Saul was there at that story? Why do you think they put their coats by his feet? And why did they take their coats off, by the way?
He throw stones easily.
Throw stones easily? That's right.
Blood
spattered, you see, terrible. A terrible situation. You normally they put them in a hole, sort of a hole, a pit. But they couldn't flee, and they just cast those stones. Why do you suppose that Saul was there? Why the clothes were at his feet?
He's in the Sanhedrin?
In the Sanhedrin, where the Pharisees are probably the leader of that thing, to kill the stone, this great preacher, Stephen, and so on. And the Lord Jesus was threatened by someone that said somebody should be stoned. Where was that?
John.
Chapter 7, 53, 8, 11. Who was that they said they should stone?
Woman caught
in the very act of adultery. What said the law? They shall stone. What did the Lord Jesus say talking about stone?
He is the last, cast
the first stone. And beginning at the eldest, what happened to these men?
They all left.
What did he say to the woman?
Go and sin.
Where are the accusers?
Where are the accusers? Had no man accused thee? And what did she say?
No man, Lord.
What did he say?
Go and
sin no more. That's exactly right. What is it?
Neither do I accuse thee.
Or condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So the stoning with stones. Terrible thing when these Babylonians come. Just throw stone. What else would be, Anna?
There was also Paul. When he was stoned at Lystra.
That's right. He was stoned at Lystra. That's a good point. And chapter 14, wasn't it, of the book of Acts. And in fact, he remembers that as he talks about what dangers he underwent in the book of 2 Corinthians. Keep your place here at Ezekiel and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see if you can find what he talks about being stoned. Now, that's not close to the other drugs. That's a expression they use being stoned, but this is with literal stones, not this expression of drugs like they talk today. Chapter 11, and the second thing, yes, second thing is chapter 11, and awareness, and verse 25, how many times was Paul stoned?
Three times.
Thrice, a beating with rods. Once, stoned three times. Thrice, suffered shipwreck of agony. So, pardon me, I'm sorry. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. Okay, got me all mixed up in the village, see that? You know, I just went ahead.
Shipwreck.
Shipwreck. Beaten with rods thrice. And once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. So, you got thrice, but just once.
Night
and day in the deep. So he had it, their difficult time. And so these Babylonians, when they came over to take out those that from Judah, stoning them, and then what else would they do to them, this company of Babylonians, verse 40?
Thus
it through with their swords. This morning in our Bible reading, through our 85 verses per day, we found the person that was thrust through. In fact, two people thrust through. Who were they, you remember? What was one?
Samuel killed him.
Well, that's Agag, I guess, left with another one. Yes, Anna?
There was Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, with a man who sinned with Baal Peor, and there was a lady or something
who
was committing adultery with
that's
or something
right.
like that.
That's right, and one of the names was Crosby, and I don't know if the other name was. Phineas, so the Giles. And then another one today was a king of Israel. He fell on his sword.
Saul.
And his armor bearer also fell on his sword. So, thrust through. And of course, Saul's life was still unavoided the first time or second time. And so, what did he ask this Amalekite to do? He said, pain, he's hurt. He's still living, what?
Kill him.
And so he fell. And when the Amalekite went to tell David, I've slain your king, your Saul, Hannah?
Well, was the Amalekite being truthful, though?
Well, I think he was telling the truth. If he wasn't, he certainly paid a terrible price. What did David say to the Amalekite when he told them he'd slain the Lord's anointed?
He
wanted to kill him. So he asked one of the servants, fall upon him, he died, and he slew him. Yes, Anna?
I don't understand, because one place Saul said he fell on his own sword, and
yes.
Then his armor
bearer,
somebody right there, killed himself.
Fell on his sword, that's right, because
I think Adam wanted to get out of the war or something.
Mm-hmm. That's right, the Amalekite
wanted to get out of the war. He's misrepresenting.
He really didn't do it.
Well, but he claimed that Saul said that my life is to live me, I'm in pain, please slay me. In other words, now, whether it was true or not, if the Amalekite told a lie, he told it at the expense of his own life, because David believed him and slew him. Cause someone to be sure. But the falling, thrusting with a sword, terrible, painful way to die, I'm sure. Another thing today, or yesterday in our Bible reading, there was Ish-bosheth's army from Saul, from Benjamites, and David's men. There were a lot of pool. There were 12 on one side of the pool, 12 on the other side of the pool, and they came together, and what did they do one to another, these 12 and 12?
Was it a pool?
Yeah, based on the side of the pool. They thrust themselves through, eat them through, and they killed each other. Horrible. They talk about thrusting through a sword. That was a way to... And then you, then the, another thing this morning, we got all kinds of short play this morning. Here was the man that was slain, this Abishai. Was it Abishai? Was it Asahel? One of the sons of Azariah, David's nephews, was slain by somebody, and so they went after him, and Joab said, why are you following after me? I think it was Asahel or Azariah, one of the two. Why are you following after me? So Joab turned around and slew him with his thrust and threw the sword. So it's a lot of swordplay today in the Bible. Yes, Anna?
Well, as I remember, we're getting the names of people mixed up again.
What were the names? Joab, right? Joab is one of the slew, the one after him, chasing after him. What was his name, the one chasing after Joab? Is Asahel?
No.
Is Azariah?
No.
Abishai
was his brother.
His
brother? Abishai and Joab were the sons of Zariah.
Oh, right,
that's his sister. Now what's happening was Asahel was following Abishai, and Abishai came around and
slew
Joab went and killed Abishai because Abishai had been with Ishbosheth but then he went to David, and then Joab didn't trust him, so he slew him and
slay some of his sword. But the terrible, painful thing of swordplay, thrusting through with a sword. And then in verse 41, what if Babylon is going to do in addition to this to Judah there in Jerusalem?
Burn that house with fire.
Burn the house. I tell you, the house
burned down. The Bible talks about sword, and the book of Joel talks about swords too.
All right, tell us about
it. Which I believe would be the heavenly army is coming. They shall fall with sword, they shouldn't die, it says. In Joel,
and they should die, and they should die, and should not die. So that would be a horrible, painful thing to be half dead and pain and bleeding to death. And so this Amalekite thought it was going to be a mercy meal for him to put him out of his misery.
The verse here, it says, neither shall one thrust, they shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone his ways, they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk everyone his paths, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded.
Understand, they fall, God will protect them, apparently. Now, talking about swords, there's another New Testament sword we should remember. Well, the sword of the Spirit was the word of God, that's a spiritual sword of the Spirit. Another physical sword. What?
The sword of the Lord.
What is it?
Malchus.
Who had that sword?
Peter.
And he missed. Apparently, what would you think he was trying to do? He probably just sliced on his head, but what did the Lord Jesus say to Peter with his sword?
Put thy sword
into thy quiver. The cup, and I see thy cup, and my father gave a sign, take it, in other words. Hello?
Dr. Wayne?
Yes, right over there.
Dr. Wayne?
Yes.
Dr.
Wayne? Yeah, go ahead.
As long as you're talking about this morning's Bible reading, I have a question. When they removed Saul's eyes from the wall, they burnt his eyes before they removed his body before they buried it.
Well, thank you, Bob. We'll see if we can handle that. That's true. They burned the body, but then they buried his bones, it says. They burned his body, buried his bones. Apparently, maybe there was some disease in the body, I don't know, but they did not cremate the body. Anyway, the only time cremation, it's not there, but they did burn the body. It says that way. And probably, maybe there was disease, maybe something, but they did bury his bones, as it said. Come on.
I think they might have done that when I was studying about cremation. Mostly their bodies were buried in the Bible, but some were burned. I guess they didn't want the enemy to desecrate the body.
That's right, but there are very, very few that say that. But the thing about it is, how can you burn the body and still bury the bones? See, it says very distinctly. They
burn. In today's cremation, they still have to crush the bones, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
They can't burn the bones. They burn the body and they... The salt is...
In Egypt, apparently, they would, if they wanted to forget the Pharaoh, they would burn them, and that would destroy their opportunities for afterlife, so they thought.
That's interesting. You know, I was glad to see talking about burning and bones and so on and so forth. On one of the shows, Fox News, they talked about this, one of the Beatles, not Beatles, but one of these singers that smoked marijuana, cut dope and now cocaine and everything else. He said he smoked his father.
Oh,
Snuffed his father. What was it?
Keith Richards from the Rolling
Stones. Keith Richards, yeah. Later on he said that's April Fool's, it wasn't true.
Yeah.
But he said he snuffed that thing while we're cocaine.
Yeah,
and I was glad that one of the ladies at Fox News, what was her name, Gretchen?
Yeah, Gretchen
Carson. She said, I'm not going to be cremated, I'm going to be buried. She stood up and said, why that name? Because we believe that's what we're going to do. But, that's right. So now, also getting back to Peter and the sword, put that sword back in the sheath. They shall not take the cup that my father gave me. Yeah, Anna?
I have another interesting thing about a sword.
All right.
In 1 Chronicles 22:16.
All right.
It's about when David numbered the people in the numerous pestilence. And this is what I'll start reading. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the ark and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces.
Yes, the drawn sword of the Lord, wasn't it? In fact, in the Gideon's army, the sword of the Lord of Gideon, he was to shot that before the enemy was to be defeated. Later on, when
we have Balaam too, and,
yes,
and I have another one in Genesis,
all right,
chapter 3, the angels that guarded the angels that guard the entrance Eden, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now let us put forth his hand and take also the tree of life." And eat thereof. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life.
Yes, the flaming sword there in the Garden of Eden. So there's a lot of swords. And, but this thrust through. Yeah, something else?
That's fine.
Okay. Thrust through the swords, bring the houses, and execute judgments upon me in the sight of many women. What would the effect of that be? What do the Muslims do with women? What is their attitude toward women?
Rape them.
They rape them, they kill them. And if they're out of line, then they kill them, they stone them. They make them put their hats on, you know. You remember the people who were over there, that the newscaster was talking about these 15 soldiers, and they have a head covering. And the Nancy Pelosi had a head covering, she looked like a Muslim. Apparently over there got away, but...
stay there.
judgment by the sight of many women. Why does the Lord say this? What significance is this?
It hurts to watch this stuff.
All right. The men in the Scripture were always the ones that were the uppermost. They were the ones... Not the women were inferior, but they always were downplayed into being women. What was the person that did not want a woman to slay him, and a woman did slay him? What was his name?
Sisera.
Well, all right, that's one, but that wasn't the one I was thinking of. But Sisera, a woman did, as he was sleeping.
The one that was in the tent?
That was in the one in the tent. That was Sisera's jail, the wife of Heber the Kenite, slew Sisera. All right, Jeremy? That's not what I was thinking
of.
Yes. Is that... one of the judges. One of the judges was fighting. He was he slew all the king's sons, and he took over. Was it Ahimelech? Abiezer?
Ahimelech?
Was it
Samson? Samson had all those children, and then the one who was the vine.
The one that was not real strong. I want to say it was Abimelech. Was it Abiezer? Anyway, what I'm saying is, in the book of Judges, this man approached the wall, and the woman from the wall saw that he was there. He was a very bad judge, and she threw a big stone on his head and knocked him out. And he said, "Please, desire, thrust me through, lest they say a woman slew me." That's the thing. I don't remember the judge's name, but that's in the book of Judges.
Right.
Now we'll find that and check it all up on the DFC. So, but...
Abimelech.
Okay, Abimelech. Well, you know what that means in Hebrew? Abi is father, Melech is king.
Oh,
my father is king.
It's 953.
Was it?
That was
953. 953, thank you, Jeremy. You see, his father was who? Was it Gideon?
Yeah, that's who his father.
And they wanted Gideon to be the king. And that's why his name was Abimelech, my father, the king. Gideon didn't want to be king. So Abimelech slew all the king's sons, and he was, I'm going to be the king, a big boastful sort of individual. So the stoning, the women, in front of the women, they would be made to look small. And that will cause them to cease from playing the harlot. In what sense were they harlotters? Harlot people here, these Jews, Judah people. Which they wrong God, unfaithful to the Lord. Then not to also give no more hire. What were they doing? They were paying somebody to commit harlotry with them or to be around with idols. And it was a horrible thing. No more hire. Then in verse 42, what emotion is shown here in the Lord?
Fury.
What is fury? The last word of that verse is what?
Anger.
What's the difference between fury and anger? Is there a difference?
Really hot.
Very hot. The fury of the Lord, you have to
Any? In the part about paying no more hire anymore, one of the kings, it was the king before Hezekiah, he, I believe the king of Israel and the king of Syria came to attack him, and he went to the king of Assyria, And then he saw this golden altar there, and he had his priest make a model of it, and he gave a lot of gold and silver from the temple. Mm-hmm. This was the king of Judah, right before Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would have been Hezekiah's father.
And maybe Ahaz or something.
So in a sense, wasn't he then buying this idolatry?
When yes.
He was giving the things from the temple to...
yes, that's good. And also, Hezekiah himself, when he showed all the king of Babylon all the wares, remember? Then Babylon swooped down on him. So he was sort of telling what they had. And so so this is the hire they shall spend. No more for hire. So the anger of the Lord. Now, what does it mean, I will make my fury toward thee to rest? Does God have an attribute of fury?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Against what or against whom is he furious?
That which is unholy.
That which is unholy. That which is sin. That is weak. Does he just have fury against unbelievers and their sins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fury against the ones that are saved and born again and his own people?
Sure.
Certainly. And these were his own people, but they had turned their back upon him. He's furious against them. Now, why will he make his fury toward Judah to rest? What made him be able to rest?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction, they were going to punish. Punishment, they were taken into Babylon, God would judge them. My fury to rest. And my jealousy, what does that mean?
I have a question about the word cup.
Uh-huh.
Is that used referring to the wrath of God and that he pours out his wrath upon the people? And then in the New Testament, in Christ said, we talked about the cup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that again referring to the wrath of God that was going to be placed upon him?
I think that certainly is, because the cup which my father has given me shall I not drink it. See, the cup of fury, the cup of wrath. Yes, I think that's right. The cup is poured out in Revelation. Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, my, now he talks about his jealousy. What does that mean? Yeah, Anna?
Well, if that's so, then is that sort of like when Joseph had his cup put in Benjamin's sack, would that be a picture?
Well, I think that may be a little different cup, because remember, that's a cup with which he used to what? To do what with? To divine. So Joseph wasn't completely on the up and up spiritually. The divining cup.
Divine. I don't know.
Divine, yeah. Well, anyway, so that cup probably on a little bit different perhaps. But now this word of jealousy, it says, my jealousy shall depart from thee. What does this mean, God being jealous?
It's like when you're married, you have like a skill.
this person's bed comes to other bed comes to another woman or another man.
Uh-huh.
It's like the other spouse is jealous, and that's because that's. Is that love, is that relationship, is that God.
In what way was God jealous? And is he jealous today for his own Christian people?
Yeah.
What makes him jealous?
Maybe like when he's saying, Lord, he just kind of idolatry, like in a sense of other loves.
Other loves, and with idols and false things and so on, he's jealous. And he says, my jealousy, apart from me, I will be quiet and no more angry, because his judgment is past, and there's rest. That's all right here for tonight, but do you have any other comments or questions before we call them? Jealousy, because he wants us. In fact, Paul says, remember the book of Corinthians, I have espoused thee as a pure virgin because of godly jealousy. Paul wanted the Christians there at Corinth to be clean-cut Christian believers, straightforward, loving the Lord, pure, and zealous for Christ. So jealousy, God wants us to be, if he's bought us, we're not our own, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our body, in our spirit, and in our body, which are God's. I mean, that's he owns us, he sure owns us. So, if we don't use it, our bodies and our whole souls, for him, he's jealous of. Any other comments you might want to bring before we close? All right, let's close in with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that we can talk about these things of Scripture. Bring to mind the things that we need for our own lives this week. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, and may it be a blessing to all of us. Morning and the afternoon service as well. We do pray for Joanne Meraki. We don't know where she is. She's probably sick in some way. Guide her and direct her, Lord, and give her health and strength. Take care of each one of us gathered tonight and those listening by other means. May our Savior be glorified in us, those of us who love thee and know thee. In Jesus' name, for we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.